Sports and Recreation reporting on SDPB is supported by Regional Health, helping patients and communities live well.
Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. SDPB's Steve Zwemke covered the NCAA Division I men's ice hockey play this weekend in Sioux Falls, and he joins us now in our studios in Vermilion with an update. Hey, Steve, welcome back.
Hi, Lori. It was such a tough assignment.
We know how you love your hockey, and there's no one better at SDPB who could cover that. But explain for you know, hockey is growing in popularity in the state, but for those who aren't quite into with how big of a deal is this NCAA Hockey West Regional to be in Sioux Falls?
Absolutely huge. This is the first time that it's ever happened in South Dakota. The NCAA Hockey Tournament, basically the same as the NCAA Basketball Tournament that's going on right now, with the exception you start with 16 teams once they come out of their conference tournaments. That's your NCAA Tournament, a 16-team field. They do it with four regionals. Sioux Falls had the West Regional, and the four teams that played in the West Regional were St. Cloud State, the University of Minnesota Duluth, Minnesota State University at Mankato, and then Air Force out of Colorado. So three Minnesota teams and then Air Force all came to Sioux Falls for the tournament this weekend.
And fans were hoping to see some familiar faces on Saturday night, but it was a surprising weekend all around. Give us an idea of what Stampede players folks were hoping to see. Where did they play for?
Sure. It's strange how it turned out, because there were a lot of guys people were talking about, and then it turned out to be the guys they weren't talking about by the end of the weekend. You know, St. Cloud State was the number one ranked team in the country coming into the tournament, and that meant they would face the 16 seed overall, which was the 4 seed for the West Regional, and that was Air Force. You start out with St. Cloud State's head coach, and that's Bob Motzko, and he was the original coach for the Sioux Falls Stampede when they first entered the USHL, and he spent 3 years in Sioux Falls. And as we heard during the news Friday, he had, you know, two of his kids were born in Sioux Falls. They really enjoyed their time there, and he was so looking forward to coming back into this new building because they played in the old arena. Guys like Mikey Isimont, a junior forward and one of St. Cloud State's top players, top scorers. He is also a draft pick of the Los Angeles Kings, and people are starting to wonder, will he leave school and sign pro, or will he stay for his senior year? That's to be debated. One of the St. Cloud State players already did that. Will Borgen, a junior defenseman, right after St. Cloud State's loss, decided to sign pro with the Buffalo Sabres, who drafted him. And then you have Minnesota State out of Mankato, who came in with five Sioux Falls-based players. Yeah. Former Stampede players Clint Lewis, Parker Toomey, Zeb Knutson, who was also formerly from Sioux Falls, Ryan Schwalbe, CJ Cease, and then Walker Dewar. If you remember, we talked to him a year ago because right. He was part of the USHL Top Prospects game. He's a Sioux Falls resident who actually finished his junior hockey career in Bloomington, Illinois, but he's also playing now under Mike Hastings at Mankato State. So all of those players, people were really hoping they would be able to see them face off in the championship game. Well, Minnesota State lost their game, and St. Cloud State was upset. I was going back in history, and actually it happened a couple of years ago. Mankato was upset by RIT, a 1 versus a 16, back in 2015. So it did happen fairly recently.
Interesting. All right. So what do those St. Cloud players and coaches have to say about the sort of heartbreaking loss?
Well, we're going to go, as they used to say on the ABC Wide World of Sports, we'll hear the agony of defeat and the thrill of victory here as we listen to some of the voices. Robbie Jackson is from Alameda, California. He's a junior for St. Cloud State, and this is what he had to say after the upset on Friday night.
Sucks, man. I don't really know how to put it into words. I didn't think I could ever hurt worse than when we lost to Ferris a couple years ago, and here we are. Every single guy in that locker room got tears in their eyes, and rightfully so. Coach said it. We battled tooth and nail, and we couldn't solve the goalie, man. And Newsy made a great pass and off the rush. You know, a couple times we could have had goals, but you know, we finally got one. So you know, credit to my roommate Nuzi. He played a heck of a game, and he was one of the guys who was leading us offensively. But yeah, it just sucks, man.
It was a tough press conference to sit through, Lori, because you could hear the sniffles from Robbie Jackson. He mentioned there were guys in the locker room just in tears. I mean, they never expected this to happen, and they just ran into an Air Force team that was so well prepared for the game. Air Force took away the passing lanes. St. Cloud State's a team that is pretty flashy offensively. They can move the puck around. Nice passing plays. They're a high-scoring team, and Air Force just suffocated them. And not only that, they were still getting their shots. Air Force's goalie, Billy Christopoulos, he's from Raleigh, North Carolina. He made 40 saves. He only gave up one goal to St. Cloud State in that game Friday night. So between the goaltending Air Force had and just the way they played defensively, St. Cloud State was not able to play their game. Bob Motzko kind of touched on that. Again, he's the former coach of the Stampede up in Sioux Falls. He is St. Cloud State's head coach.
There was two things. They put everything on the boards. We wanted to take the walls away. We did. And the only thing we were emphasizing is he's a big, tall goalie, is shoot lower. You know, create rebounds, go to the net, fight through. You know, it might have been one of the weirdest games I've been on because we weren't making a lot of adjustments and our guys were playing. We just were waiting there. It's going to go. Like, that was the feeling. Well, it's going to go in. It's going to go in. Because of all the opportunities we had. That's this tournament. One-and-done tournaments are, you get yourself in that hole, and that can happen to you.
Lori, the way NCAA does their press conferences during these hockey tournaments is that the losing team, their coach and a couple of players will come into the press room about 15 minutes after the game is over, so there's really not much time after the final buzzer before you get behind the microphones, and you could hear just a little bit of shell shock there in Bob Motzko's voice, too.
They have not processed yet what exactly just happened to them.
No, not at all.
Tough stuff. Yeah. All right. But that Air Force team, you have to give them credit for what they were able to accomplish in that game.
That's right. This is the thrill of victory here. Frank Ceratori is a longtime hockey coach. He's been around for probably 20 plus years, most of that with Air Force. But he's a character. And when he gets behind the microphone, whether it's a win or loss, you'll usually get some pretty good quotes. But Frank Ceratori, obviously happy after the upset win on Friday night.
Well, today it was taking away St. Cloud's rush offense, their D. There was just so many things offensively that they have. I mean, we had a few more bullet points than usual because their D are so active. Again, the back door, getting numbers back, not getting mesmerized on the puck, make sure we're picking people up away from the puck. On their attack, their guys will escape and look late. And when they escape, the defender that's on them has got to get in his face right away. You can't give them, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, time to find a receiver. And we tried to take that away as best we could. And we did a pretty good job, I mean, for the majority of the game. But, you know, they're going to find some guys every once in a while. That's why they're the team that they were. That's why they have the record that they were. And when they did, they either weren't able to convert for whatever reason or Billy made a big save for us.
And there's your excitement.
Yeah, and he's still coaching, right? The game's not over for him either. He's still in that mode. You can almost imagine him talking to his players just a few minutes earlier.
Very much so, because he was already during that press conference, talking about what they were needing to do in the next few hours to prepare for the game on Saturday night against Minnesota Duluth. Now, here's what's interesting about Air Force, and Frank Ceratori touched on this after the game Friday in his press conference. We talk about the South Dakota connections coming out of the United States Hockey League and the Sioux Falls Stampede. Well, there's another junior hockey league that has graced South Dakota. That's the North American Hockey League, and Aberdeen is the home of the Aberdeen Wings. Okay. Air Force has four former Aberdeen Wings on their roster, and two of those players actually play quite a bit. Eric Baskin is a senior, and he's the Air Force's leading scorer. He actually played 113 games in Aberdeen, and Kyle Hake is a junior forward. He played 177 games in Aberdeen, so that's about the equivalent of three seasons with the Aberdeen Wings. Now, interestingly, the North American Hockey League has always been kind of thought as a second or a level lower than the USHL, and that's becoming a little bit not so much anymore. I think they're starting to close the gap. One of the interesting things about the North American Hockey League is a lot of their players are players that didn't make it on USHL rosters, and they've got a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. Okay. And it's interesting, too, because some of those players will stay a little bit longer with their North American Hockey League club. Now, they get to be maybe 19, 20 years old, and you'll hear a lot of coaches say it takes some players a little bit longer for things to click. And 19, 20 is about the age for some of those guys before things start to click, and you know that they're going to be a successful college hockey player. Mick Hatton is a sports writer for the St. Cloud Times, and he has covered St. Cloud State since 2010, and he talks about this a little bit with the North American Hockey League players and how the North American Hockey League players are starting to fill the Division I rosters, where 5 years ago that wasn't really quite the case.
I think teams are starting to find out, maybe the mid-major teams in particular, you know, that if you get those guys that are, you know, maybe 19 and 20 years old that have played a year or two in the North American League, you're getting a more mature player. You're getting a guy that, you know, is not going to maybe give you as many problems, maybe as a younger guy might, because they've just had a little bit more time kind of out on their own and stuff. And, yeah, Air Force is a great example, and they were that type of team. I mean, you saw work ethic out of them, even when they had got off to a terrible start on the region championship game. But, the work ethic was there all the way through the end of that game, got them back in it.
Mick talked about the worth ethic of the Air Force players, and it's really interesting when you see some of the media information from their sports information department about the players and what they're studying. I mean, you have guys studying physics, you have guys that'll become pilots in the Air Force. Everybody is really on a strict regimen, and it's hard to get into the Air Force Academy to begin with. So when you have that kind of a player, that work ethic is already built in, so you're getting some real quality people on that roster.
What can you tell me, and this is a more basic question, for the trajectory of these kids? You're talking them being 19, 20, and then going to Division I. Do they come out of high school, play in a certain league, and then get into college? Is it work in the reverse?
What? You know, a lot of players will leave home before they're done with high school. We see that quite a bit with the Sioux Falls Stampede players, for example. They may forego their senior year of high school and play junior hockey. That's where they, you know, have billet families. They stay with families in the local community that are big supporters of the team. And then they're hoping to commit to a college. You know, they're hoping colleges will be on the lookout for their talent, and that they'll be able to commit and eventually play Division I if that's the route they want to take. And as Mick said, with the North American Hockey League players, they might stay a little bit longer just because they're not at that USHL level. But by the time they get to be 19 and 20, they're pretty much at a level even with maybe like an 18 or 19-year-old college player.
You're just tuning in. You're listening to In the Moment on SDPB Radio. My guest is SDPB Steve Zwemke, and we're talking about NCAA Hockey West Regional in Sioux Falls, the men's hockey tournament. And let's switch gears a little bit now, Steve, and talk about that Duluth, on the other side, the Minnesota Duluth team.
Absolutely. They were the champions of the West Regional tournament this weekend in Sioux Falls. Minnesota Duluth came in after just a terrible weekend about 7 or 8 days ago. They participated in the National Collegiate Hockey Conference Tournament, and they lost two games in their own conference tournament. So they really were struggling entering the West Regional this weekend. They made it in based on their regular season record. You know, the conference champions obviously get in. They made it in on their record, some at-large berths. So they were the number three seed at the West Regional in Sioux Falls. And boy, did they ever turn it around. they played some amazing hockey this weekend. And their head coach, Scott Sandlin, does a nice job talking about how they went from just a tough weekend for their team to what happened this weekend.
I think the way we got in really was a spark for our team. You know, instead of it just not being so dramatic, and it was dramatic, I think our guys really appreciated the opportunity that they got, because that's how hard it is sometimes. And I think, you know, we kind of had a meeting on Sunday after the selection show and just talked about a couple things and things we could learn from the weekend, and just put it behind us and move forward. And our guys came to practice on Monday, and I thought they did a good job with that. And I thought we had, you know, two or three really good days, and guys were energized again. And it's amazing when sometimes you get that second life, and that's kind of how it felt, even though in most normal years it probably wasn't that way. But maybe, I think maybe the way it happened, but that kind of the roller coaster of emotions maybe helped us get focused a little bit faster.
Just interesting how the tide turns, isn't
right.
it?
Yes, exactly. So they take us to Saturday then. This is the final. Is that where we're at?
Yeah, that was after the championship game on Saturday night against Air Force. That was him commenting about how they really turned things around from the NCHC tournament weekend to the West Regionals.
Okay.
And now the team looks forward to the Frozen Four, which is the equivalent of basketball's Final Four. And that takes place in St. Paul, Minnesota, beginning April 5th, and they're going to be playing Ohio State, I believe, and I think Notre Dame has Michigan. I forgot. I don't have the brackets in front of me now,
right.
But the four teams that will play in the semifinals are Michigan, Notre Dame, Ohio State, and Minnesota Duluth. Continuing with that championship game on Saturday night. Now, there are some interesting things from that game. We talked about the way Air Force played on Friday night against St. Cloud State. Take this into consideration. The championship game was a 2-1 final in favor of Duluth. Air Force did not register their first shot on goal until 4 minutes into the second period.
Wow.
At that time, Duluth had 17 shots. By the end of the second period, they both had 6 shots that period, and I believe it was about 24-6. But halfway through the second period, you could really feel the momentum change. Air Force was playing more like they did against St. Cloud State. They were starting to get some chances. Their defense was tough, and their goalie was playing really well again, Billy Christopoulos, and they made it interesting. And then they finally scored their first goal late in the third period, probably 5 or 6 minutes to play, and they searched for that tying goal. It just didn't happen, but it turned out to be an excellent hockey game. When about halfway through the first period, we thought this one was going to be an ugly one.
Right. 8,000 fans, is that? That's
yeah. On Friday night, I believe they had more than 7,000 fans for each game at the Premier Center in Sioux Falls. There were more than 8,000 on Saturday night. This is also interesting because fans that bought their tickets through the schools bought the full weekend pass, and that's all 3 games. So they were saying limited tickets available for the weekend, and that was true, but a lot of the fans just went to see, you know, their team
sure.
play, and then they'd take off, miss the other game, go to dinner or whatever. And then when you had the upsets on Friday, you take out Mankato, which was the closest team geographically to Sioux Falls, and St. Cloud State, another team that had some Sioux Falls ties. There were probably some fans lost there too. I was visiting with a couple of writers, one from Mankato and one from Duluth, the newspapers in those cities, and they were both saying we would probably have, you know, 10,000 at
right.
least if those two teams would have played in the championship game.
So this speaks to something bigger about hockey in South Dakota, doesn't it?
Really does. I wanted to visit with somebody from South Dakota who has seen this explosion of hockey, and I found the perfect person. I moved to Mitchell back in 1994, and I got involved in the youth hockey program there. At that time, the only hockey that existed in the state of South Dakota was the Amateur Hockey Association, the youth level, you know, from
right.
mini-mites all the way up to the varsity teams. And there was Aberdeen, Watertown, Brookings, Huron, and Sioux Falls, just 5 communities. And then Mitchell joined to be the 6th community. Well, that happened about 1995. Since then, Pier, Rapid City have joined the youth program, so has Yankton. The Sioux Falls Stampede came about 1999. The Rapid City Rush are South Dakota's first minor league hockey team that has a NHL affiliate. They're affiliated to the Minnesota Wild. And then this big thing happens this weekend in Sioux Falls, an NCAA region tournament. I mean, we've never had anything like this in South Dakota. And in just this period of maybe 22 years, we've seen hockey grow from five cities with their youth program all the way up to hosting these big Division I teams in Sioux Falls for a big-scale tournament. And one of the people I talked to was Eric Thorstenson of KSFY Television in Sioux Falls. Now, Eric used to broadcast the youth hockey or the varsity hockey tournament when KSFY had the TV deal back in the mid-90s. So Eric's a perfect guy who has seen where hockey came from its roots at the youth level all the way to where it is now. And of course, living in Sioux Falls, you know, it's just, you know, right underneath him. So here's what Eric had to say when I visited with him on Thursday afternoon.
Well, I mean, hockey has exploded so much. I mean, you look at, I mean, Sioux Falls especially, what our youth hockey program was back then in South Dakota's biggest city compared to what it is now. And it's largely because of facilities. You know, we built a three sheet of ice year-round facility, which boomed the program. Obviously, it started when the Stampede came. People started, you know, watching a high level of hockey. And it's not only it starts growing at the youth level, it grows at the high school levels, and we've seen it across the state get bigger each year, adding teams each year from where it was when we first started out. But in Sioux Falls especially, and I mean, even hosting something like this, we've never even fathomed hosting an NCAA regional like this. It's all because of what's happened in the past. I mean, building this beautiful Premier Center, obviously, watching hockey in here, it's like watching an NHL in an NHL arena. So, I mean, just it's on so many levels it's grown. And I think the main thing is it's got the youth involved. I mean, just there's 600 kids in the youth program now. And back then there was nowhere near that.
You know, Lori, a couple of things Eric and I talked about, too, is we're both totally convinced that we'll see a National Hockey League preseason game hosted in Sioux Falls in the not-too-distant future. Also, what amazed us is, again, how fast all of this has happened. I mean, 22 years seems like a long time, but then again, for all of this to blossom in that period of time, you know, and, right. and we've been part of it is amazing.
So taking us back to where we started, you know, when we were looking for all those Minnesota, you know, connections in the future, it's going to be those South Dakota connections that fans are showing up for as well.
Absolutely. We're already seeing that.
Yeah. SDPB Steve Zwemke was at the NCAA Hockey West Regional in Sioux Falls. Steve, thank you so much. It was an exciting weekend. I'm hooked.
It really was. Labor of passion.